Today's daf is Erev and Daf Pei Vav. Today we're going to discuss the following. We're going to first explain how much of a tfisas yad a balabais needs to keep in his house when he rents it out to somebody else in order for the tenant to be irrelevant to the Erev, for the tenant not to have to join the Erev because the balabas is still holding a stronghold in that house. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss whether a person who leaves a chaser for Shabbos is still considered to be a person who lives in that chaser and therefore has to participate in the Erev, or if he leaves a chaser for Shabbos, he's no longer considered a resident of that chatzah and therefore wouldn't have to participate in the Erev. Second Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to have a machlokas about what kind of wall can help to allow people to draw water from a board that's between two chatzeros, and that's going to lead to a machlokas amroim about the definition of the word lamala and lamata, which come up in the Mishnah. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to conclude with a discussion of mechitzos that hang more than three tefachim off the ground, both as they pertain to Hilchos Sukkah, whether it can be a valid mechitza for Sukkah, as well as for Hilchos Shabbos, whether it could be a valid mechitza for Erevin. So we left off in Daf Pehe Amud Beis. We are at the two dots, three lines from the bottom of the page on Pehe Amud Beis. Rabbi Omer im Yesham Tfisas Yad. So the Mishnah had said that normally someone who lives in a bayis in the chatzar must join the Erev, and his failure to join the Erev will ruin the Erev for everybody else. But if he's only a tenant and the balabas, the person who owns the house, still has a Tfisas Yad in that house, so then the tenant doesn't have to join the Erev. So says Gemara, Hechi Dami Tfisas Yad. What does the word tfisas yad mean? What does that mean that the balabas maintains some holding in the house? So the Gemara is going to give a couple of suggestions. Suggestion number one is kigon chatzera shel bunyas ben bunyas. That's our girsa. The chatzera of a person by the name of bunyas ben bunyas. Also the kamei de Rebbe, amr lehu panu makum leben me'amana. When bunyas ben bunyas would come in front of Rebbe, Rebbe would say, everyone clear the way for this person who's worth 100 mana, who has 100 mana in his bank account. Asin shachrina, amr lehu panu makum leben masayimana. When another person would come to Rebbe, Rebbe had this habit of announcing what people had in their bank accounts. He would say, clear the way for the person who has 200 mana in his bank account. Amr lefan of Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi said to Rebbe, do you know who that first guy was? The guy you said has 100 mana in his bank account? Rebbe, aviv shel zeh yeshlo elef svinos bayam u'konegden elef ayaros b'yabasha. This guy has 1,000 yachts and he has 1,000 and he owns 1,000 cities, his father. He's from a very, very wealthy family. You think he only has mea mana based on your comment that you thought the second guy was richer? You have no idea how rich that first guy is. Amar lo l'kshetegia etzalaviv, he says, well, next time you see Bunyas ben Bunyas' father, Bunyas Sr., amar lo, you should tell him, al tishagrei bekelim halal lefanai. He shouldn't be wearing such shoddy clothing. Let him dress nicely if he's such a rich guy. Why does he look like he's not such a rich guy? Rebbe mechabed ashirim, Rebbe Akiva mechabed ashirim. Rebbe used to be mechabed ashirim, as we see from the story. He would tell everyone, clear the way for someone who has a lot of money, and Rebbe Akiva was mechabed ashirim. Darish Rava Bar Mari, why were they Mechabed Ashirim? Like Rava Bar Mari darshins the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yeshev Olam Lefnei Elokim Chesed Ve'emes Man Yinsuruhu. So what do we darshan? Emes HaYeshev Olam Lefnei Elokim. When is the world going to be properly settled? When there are Ashirim Bizman Shechesed Ve'emes Man Yinsuruhu. When there are Ashirim that are giving out man as Lashon Bezonos, or giving out food and protecting the world by acts of Chesed. All of that was a long way of answering the question of what's called a Tfisas Yad. So we said a Tfisas Yad is similar to the Chatzar of Bunyas ben Bunyas. What was it about the Chatzar of Bunyas ben Bunyas? Since he was so rich, he would always lend out the various houses that he had in different Chatzeros to other people, but he kept furniture in each of his homes. He had furnished homes in all of these different Chatzeros. So that's what we're trying to say, that if you keep furniture in your house, even if you rent it out to other people, you lend it out to other people, it's still called that the Balabas has its Tfisas Yad in that house. So a couple of issues over here that come up in this little piece that we just read. First of all, that's a funny name, Bunyas ben Bunyas. Plus, not only is it a funny name for a person to be named after his father was still alive, apparently, because Rebbe commented at the end of the story, next time you see his father, tell him the kid shouldn't be wearing such shoddy clothing. So apparently he was named after his father, Bechaye Aviv, while his father was still alive. In Sefer Chasidim, it says that the Nachrim are Korim Levneim B'Shem Avihad, Vein Bekach Klum. He says the Goyim call their children by their own name, and they just add Junior, or the third, or whatever. But that's not something that's appropriate. That Yehuda Makpid Malkach, says the Sefer Chasidim in Siman Tov Samach. Jewish people are Makpid, we don't do that. He says there are many Jews that are Makpid not to call after anybody that's alive. But we call after people, the Svardim call after people who are alive, but only the grandfather. They wouldn't name the child after the father, only after the grandfather. Chidor writes in Bris Olam on the Sefer Chasidim that the simon for this is the Pasuk in Tehillim, Koru Bishmosam Alei Admos, that we don't call a person but we don't give a person a name after anybody who's still alive. It's only Achrei Kvuraso. It's only after a person is buried that we give a person a name. Rav Zilberstein has a discussion Chashuk Echemed about a chayal who was MIA, and one of the fellow chayalim reported that the tank that this chayal was in was blown up, and they just didn't have a body, but they thought that he was dead, and he left a pregnant wife, Rachman al-Tzan, and the wife gave birth and named the baby after her husband, and then sure enough, a little while later, the husband comes back home. He was still alive. So he was pretty upset that his baby was named after him, and he was still alive. He wanted to know if there's anything that he could do about it. So Zilberstein quotes from Menashe Klein, has a tshuva in Mishnah Lachos, where he brings a raya from this Gemara that it's apparently okay to name after someone, after one's own father who's still alive. Apparently there's no serious hakpada, and therefore it's still called a shame. Rav Zilberstein points out that the Lechora, this case is totally different though, because in this case it was completely betalus. The whole shame was given betalus. It was given based on a false premise. Had they had any idea that the guy was still alive, they never would. So he thought maybe the name is not Tofes, which is a very interesting concept. Is that true of a Kriyas Hashem? We have such a thing as a Neder Betotlus. Someone takes a Neder that based on a false premise, so then the Neder is not going to be Chal. But a Kriyas Shem on a false premise? Rabbi Krohn always likes to tell the story of the fellow who made a simon with his wife when she went to the hospital that she would have the nurse call. Apparently he didn't call his wife to the hospital to give birth. That she'd have, it was Shabbos, she'd have the nurse call, and one ring would mean a boy and two rings would mean a girl. And before they hang up, and the nurse called, and he thought he heard two rings, so he named the baby the next day in shul. He named her whatever, Chana or something, the next day in shul, and it turned out that Mazel Tov, it was a boy. So he wanted to know, is the boy's name Chana? We do find the name Chana in Shas, parenthetically, that it's a boy's name in Shas. Okay, Rav Bar Chana, right? So, but anyway, the unless it's a girl's name, but Pasha's. So anyway. So, can you just say the whole thing's not a shayla because it's a shame b'taos? So I don't know. It's an interesting concept that he has, that it's a shame b'taos. The Chavos Das was called Rabbeinu Yaakov, and his father's name was Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Mizhovruv. It says in the Pnine Halacha section over here of the Masifta, quotes the Eden Sion, that it's what a pella that he was called by his father's name. That is an unbelievable thing. He says there's some sort of story behind this, that he got sick once or something. There's some sort of story. I didn't really fully understand the whole story, but he says in Maori Galicia, it says that there was a Masora that at the Bris he was Shakua Belimud, and when the Moel said V'yikari Shmo B'Yisrael, he thought he was asking him for his own name. The father was so involved in his learning that sometimes so he was so involved in his learning that he didn't know what to say, so he just responded by V'yikari Shmo. He thought he was asking his own name. He said Yaakov. So they said, okay, Yaakov. And they named the baby Yaakov. And that's how the Nesivis, the Baal Chavos Das, is the Nesivis. That's how he got the name Yaakov, even though it was the same as his father's name. Okay, but the minig is we don't do this because it's not the father's not going to like it. It's not something that he's pleased with to be named after. It would be something that's uncomfortable for a parent. So that's one issue. Another issue is the clothing over here. He told him, your son should wear nice clothing. Why is it so important to wear nice clothing? So the Me'iri in several places makes a big deal out of the importance of wearing nice clothing. I told the story yesterday in the Drasha from the Rav Scheinberg biography, where a bachur came and asked Rav Scheinberg for a bracha for a shidduch. He said, you don't need a bracha, you need a haircut and a clean shirt, and then you'll get a shidduch. So it's important. A person should be presentable. A person should wear nice clothing. But the Me'iri says that we see in Eitz HaTovah for any balmidos that you have to put begadim haru'uyim lo, not just nice clothing, but begadim that represent your standing. That the Gemara tells us that the Gemara Maseches Bamitzia, I think, says, and the Gemara in Shabbos that mechabdai, that the begadim are considered that which gives a person kavod, and a person should wear begadim that reflect the level of kavod that he should represent. By kavod atfila also, the Meiri says that the gedolei chachamim were ma'atar atzma bebegadim na'im. They would put dafka, wear special nice clothing b'shas atfila, and even though not everyone could afford to do that, and not everyone should. should do that, but still, it's an appropriate thing to do. L'kavod the tefillah. So that's the Meiri's idea about the clothing. Why were they mechabed Ashirim? One final issue over here. What was the point of being mechabed the Ashirim? Why did they deserve so much kavod? So the Meiri writes that the Rebbe was mechabed Ashirim because Rebbe was an Ashir Gadol, and he knew that what he did with his Ashiris, all the wonderful mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that he did with his Ashiris. So he was such a tmimus tikkun person, he assumed that there would never be such a thing as an Ashir who thinks that kochi votzim yadien, who's not going to do the proper things with his wealth. He assumed that if he acts this way with his money, mistama, everybody who has a lot of money acts this way. So everyone's accumulating so many mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim with their money. So he was always mechabed Ashirim because he had such a tmimus tikkun view of the world. That's the Meiri. The Ma'aril in Likutim Oslamet Hey says that Rebbe and Rebbe Kiva were mechabed Ashirim dafka because they wanted to get people in the habit of being mechabed Ashirim because they themselves were Ashirim and they knew that people were going to be mechabed them for one reason or another, either because they were Ashirim or because of their Torah, and they didn't want to receive kavod for their Torah. So they dafka tried to create an environment where there was kavod given for Ashirus so that they'd get their kavod for the Ashirus, or at least they'd be able to justify in their minds that people are only being mechabed me for my Ashirus and not for my Torah. And then in the Pesach Einayim, he says in the name of the Ari that we find that Yaakov Vinu was Chozal Pachim Ketanim. Why was Yaakov Chozal Pachim Ketanim? Went back for these little tiny kelim. So the limud is that a person should not be mezalzel in anything that he has. If Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you something, it's Mashpia Olav Min HaShemayim, that a person is supposed to have such a thing, that a person is supposed to have these items. So if that's true of Pachim Ketanim, L'chora Kal V'chomer, a person has Hon Gadol, a person has a lot of Ashiras, he has a lot of possessions, so that's all Min HaShemayim. Everything a person has, you have to view it as Min HaShemayim. So Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva would view these people as people who, for one reason or another, it's not our cheshbon to figure out why, but for one reason or another, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to be mechabed them with all of these things. So they deserve proper kavod for having all of these brachos that are clearly directly Min HaShemayim. But again, all of that was a long answer to say what's called the Tfisas Yad in the Chatzer, in the bias of the Chatzer. So Tfisas Yad is that you have furniture there, that like Bunyas Ben Bunyas had furniture there. There are other Girsos that say that his name wasn't Bunyas Ben Bunyas, that his name was just Ben Bunyas, or he had a different name entirely. You look at the Bach, you look in the Mesorah Shas, they have different Girsos. Okay. Rabba Barbachana Amar Kigon Yasid Shal Macharisha. Rabba Barbachana says that an example of a Tfisas Yad is if you have the peg of the plow. That's a significant kli, but it's also not just that it's a significant kli, it's mukta. So if you have, you keep that in the house, and no one's allowed to move it on Shabbos, therefore you know it's going to stay there. Amar Rav Nachman Tanda Beishmuel Davar Anitel B'Shabbos Oser Davar She'enu Anitel B'Shabbos Eino Oser. That's the klal. Anything that can be removed on Shabbos is gonna make the tenant considered to be a resident of the chatzer. The Baal Bas does not have a tefisas yad because the item could just easily be moved out of the bayis. But something that cannot be moved on Shabbos, so mela, the Baal Bayis is keeping his tefisas yad there the entire Shabbos. You're not allowed to move this item out of the house, and therefore the tenant is not going to need to join in the eruv. Tani nami hachi yeshlo tevel yeshlo ashoshis. If a person has tevel is mukza, or a person has iron bars which are very heavy and probably and mukta as well, the kol davar she'eino nitol b'Shabbos, and anything that you're not allowed to move on Shabbos, eino oser, is not going to aser for the rest of the bnei achatzer, meaning it's that resident of that house where the balabas keeps those items in that house, is the tenant is not considered a resident, and therefore the balabas is, as long as the balabas is involved in the eruv, you don't need to keep the tenant involved in the eruv. The balabas is still considered to be to own that house. Now, when we say that the object has to be able to be moved on Shabbos, that the object has to be able to not be moved on Shabbos in order for the Baal HaBas to have a Tefisas Yad, what does it mean, it can't be moved? Does it can't be moved mean only Midine Muktzah? What if the halacha is that it's not Muktzah? It's something that you're allowed to move. But the tenant has no right to start. If I rent a hotel room, so the desk in the hotel room, let's say, is or the chair in the hotel room, it's not Muktzah, definitely not Muktzah, but am I allowed to say, I'm not in the mood for a desk or a chair, and just throw it out into the hallway? I don't have the rights to do that. So I can't move it out of the place, but not because of muktzah. I can't move it out of the place because who gave me the right to move it out of the place? When I rent the hotel room, I don't rent the right to remove all the furniture from the room. So this seems to be a discussion in the Rishonim. Rashi over here says, what does it mean, Eino Nitl B'Shabbos? That it's something that's Nitl B'Shabbos is not a Tfisas Yad, and it therefore would make that base dira, a real base dira that would aser, because if the guy wants, he could always take it out and remove it from the area. He could always take it out of the house. So the Achronim say within Rashi, the Bach, and the Tos Yantav, the Kabbin Nesanel, they say, well, Rashi is trying to say is that the Socher, or the Shoel, who lives in the house, could remove it from the objects of the Maskir from the place. So the Kabbin Nesanel in Simen Vav Osdal says, according to that, it's not only that the object is not Muktzah, that the object, if the object is Muktzah, it's called that he has a Tfisas Yad. Even if it's not Muktzah, but Mitzad HaDin, the Socher is not allowed to remove it, because it's dinim ominous. You're not renting the right to remove his kalim. So that also would mean that the balabas keeps the tfisas yad. So by the hotel room example, he would still have a tfisas yad. Says that's what it seems is shitas Rashi. However, the Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchos Erev, in the Tur in Simen Shin Ayin, the Rambam's lashon is Avalim nishar lo b'chol bayis mehen kelim shemutul ataltalan. If the balabas leaves in each of his homes kelim that are mutter to move, hol ve'efshar sheyotziam hayom, since it's possible he might remove them today, so therefore it's not called that he has a tfisas yad. So it sounds from the lashon of the Rambam, and the Torah also, it sounds from his lashon also, we're not going to go through the lashon of the Torah right now, but it sounds from the lashon of both the Rambam and the Torah, that the reason is that an object that's removable on Shabbos is not called a tfisas yad, because the maskir is allowed to move it. So it doesn't matter if the socher is not allowed to move it. If the maskir, if the balabas has the right to move the kli, that's called that it's that he doesn't really have a tfisas yad. So the Bach just wonders, what's pshat? Why is the fact that the maskir has the right to move it mean that he loses tfisas yad? Adraba, the maskir's rights, it just means he has more rights, that he has he could do more. So why does he lose a tfisas yad in the bayis? Because he has the right to move something. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan explains, Simen Shinayin, that when we're saying the maskir has the right to move it, what we're trying to say is that he has no kvias there. That in order for the balabas to be considered to have a tfisas yad, he has to be kavua in that bayis in some way, that there's going to be a guaranteed presence of the maskir in that bayis for the entire Shabbos. And there's no guaranteed presence of the maskir because he could always decide to just remove items from the area. So he said, so the classic example is muktzah. If something is muktzah, so then you know it's not going to be moved. But there are different categories of muktzah, and not every muktzah are you not allowed to move. What about a klisha melachta le'iser? Halach is a klisha melachta le'iser. You're allowed to move l'tzarech gufo u'l'tzarech mekomo. If this recorder right here were in the way on Shabbos, and it was I needed the papers that it was sitting on, so I'm allowed to move it because I need l'tzarech mekomo. I need the area where it is. If I needed to use it for something else, so I'm allowed to move it on Shabbos because it's just a klisha melachta le'iser. It's not muktzah machlos kashrim because it's probably not worth all that much. It doesn't even have a backing for the battery, so it's. It's just klisha melachta le'iser. So would that be considered something that's not nitel? So this is also a machlokas haposkim. The Meiri writes that even if the balabayis has a klisha melachta le'iser, it works for its tfisas yad. The person who lives there is not going to aser. He's not going to have to join in the eruv because even though it's nitel tzorach gufo makomo, since it's melachta le'iser, that's enough to call it that the balabas has tfisas yad because mistama you don't plan on moving klisha melachta le'iser. Meaning even though it could be moved when you have the proper tzarech, but mistama, we don't assume that it's actually going to be moved. However, Rabbeinu Yehonah's son and the Magen Mishnah in the fourth parak of Hilchos Erevin say that a kli shemelach le'iser does not work for tfisas yad for the simple reason that we just said, that it's movable, so it's not going to work as a tfisas yad. There's a further machlokas rishonim. What if something is just very heavy? It's not muktzah. It's just extremely tedious to move something that's very, very heavy. So the Torah writes that a kli that's not nital machmas kovdo, that's also called tfisas yad. Beis Yosef says, where does he get that from? He must get it from the examples our Gemara gives. Our Gemara gives two examples of things that you would never move out of the area. One is tevel, and the other is these iron bars. The iron bars must be machmas kovdam, must be because they're heavy. Otherwise, why give that example? If it's just another example of muktzah, you already gave an example of muktzah with tevel. So it must be that it's machmas kovdam, that it's because they're very heavy. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says, no, we learned from a different place that the Gemara had said earlier in Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis that a sulam tzuri, that a heavy tsuri ladder, the kovdos machshiva lekli sheinu nitzal b'shabbos. The heaviness of that type of ladder makes it a kli that's not going to be moved on Shabbos, and therefore it serves to be memayit the kosel shebein shtei chatzerus. So the kosel is four amos, and we want to be memayit the kosel shebein shtei chatzerus. So a sulam tsuri is enough to be memayit the kosel. Is considered like a pesach in the wall that separates two chatzerus. Okay, so it says the Gemara. It says Mishnah now. New Mishnah. Miniach beis of all lichlishos biyaracheres. Let's say a guy skips town for Shabbos. He leaves. He goes to a different city for Shabbos. Echad. So we're gonna have four shitos in the Mishnah in terms of, does he still need to join in the Erev of his home chatzer when he's not home for Shabbos? Or if he's a guy, does he need to be socher reshus of his home in his home when he's not going to be there for Shabbos in order for the other people in the chatzer to be allowed to carry? So four shitas. First shita is, Echa Nachri Vechad Yisrael Hareza Oser Divra Meir. Meir holds, he prevents everybody else in the chatzer from carrying, whether he's a Jew, a non-Jew, it doesn't make a difference. If he's a Jew, he needs to join in the Erev. If he's a non-Jew, he needs to be socher reshus. Need to take care of it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, second shita, Eino Oser. He does not prevent anybody else from carrying because he's not there, so he's not considered a resident of that chatzer. Third shita, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nachri Oser, Yisrael Eino Oser. She'ein derech Yisrael, Lavo b'Shabbos. If he's a non-Jew, he prevents others from carrying because he might come back on Shabbos. But a Jew is not going to come back on Shabbos from another city, so he's not going to prevent anybody from carrying. He's already out of town for Shabbos. If he's out of town for Shabbos, he's not going to be able to come back. But it sounds like from Rabbi Yossi that if he were in town for Shabbos, just at somebody else's house, then the Jew would also aser because he can still come back. And that's why we have a fourth shita, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilu iniach beis avalach lishvos etzel bito ba'osa yir. Even if he left home and he went to his daughter's house in the same city, eino oser shekvari siya mi libo, he's still not going to answer anybody because he's already made the decision mentally that he is gone for Shabbos. So even though he's halachically permitted to return on Shabbos, he's not going to return on Shabbos because he's at his daughter's house for Shabbos. So he's not going to come home in the middle of Shabbos. And that's enough to say that he's not considered a resident of this chatzar for Shabbos. So the Rishonim discuss, okay, according to Rabbi Shimon, what if he does come back on Shabbos? So now what? Is that now asur on all the b'nei chatzar? Or do we say, no, since his plans originally were not to come back on Shabbos, so it became mutter for the whole Shabbos even without an Erev. So this is a Machlokas Rishonim. There are several Rishonim, the Meiri, the Rashba, the Rash, they're all quoted from a Yesh Misha Omer, and the Ritva says this way directly, that if a guy comes back on Shabbos, he does Aser. And the Raya they bring is from a Nachri that comes back home on Shabbos. The Gemara says in Samachayamid Beis, that even when he's not Bebeso, even though when the Nachri is not Bebeso, he doesn't Aser, but if he comes back to his house Be'emtza Shabbos, in the middle of Shabbos, he does Aser. We also had earlier on Samach Tesam Beis that someone was mevatel his reshus in his chatzer before Shabbos, and then on Shabbos he brings his kelim to the chatzer, out into the chatzer, he asers on the b'nei chatzer. We don't say that since his reshus was mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains that way for the entire Shabbos. So whatever the status was at the beginning of Shabbos does not necessarily remain for the rest of Shabbos, says the Ritva, as well as the Yesh Mishonim and all these other Rishonim. However, the several other Rishonim, the Ravid amongst them, says he doesn't aser. And the reason that he doesn't aser is since Rabbi Shimon was only matir because he siya milibo, so by a Jew, we know, b'tchilas ha-Shabbos, we know at the beginning of Shabbos, that he's not going to come back. That's his plan, that he's not going to come back. So we could say that Shabbos, hol v'hutra, hutra, that once we said at the beginning of Shabbos, he's not going to come back, that since at the beginning of Shabbos, it was clear that you're allowed to be metaltal in the chatzer, so even if he does come back, the tiltal in the chatzer does not become asur. But by a goy, we can't say hol v'hutra, hutra, because he siya milibo. The guy doesn't go away for Shabbos. He goes away for a Saturday morning, for a Friday night. He goes away for a few hours. It's not like Shabbos is a cheft, you know, is an entity that he's going to leave for a Shabbos. So by a guy, it's different. You can't bring a raya from a case of a guy. And they deal with the raya about bittul reshus as well. So anyway, that's my focus within Shitas Rabbi Shimon. But what did Rabbi Shimon say? That if you go to the daughter's house for Shabbos in the same city, so you already decided that he's leaving for Shabbos. Amar Rav halach Rabbi Shimon, we pass like Rabbi Shimon v'dafka bito, but it's only a daughter's house. Aval beno lo, but not if he goes to his son's house. What's the difference if he goes to his daughter's house? He goes to his son's house. Damrian she navach bach kal ba'ol navach bach kur yasapok. Not always do people get along with their sons-in-laws and daughters-in-laws. So even though he's going to go to his son-in-law, if he goes to his daughter's house, so he's only going to have to deal with his son-in-law, but the daughter's going to win. The daughter, if the son-in-law, the bark is worse than the bite, so he could stay there the whole Shabbos, even if the son-in-law is not happy about it. If the son-in-law is going to have to swallow his pride and just put up with it. If he goes to the daughter, the son's house, where the daughter-in-law is running the show, so then you better get out of there if she's not happy with you. So that's I'm sorry, the other way around, no? What do we say? If he goes to his daughter's house, right now, if he goes to his daughter's house, he's staying there, right? Son-in-law, you don't have to worry about. You're going to stay there the whole Shabbos. But the daughter-in-law, you better worry about. You got to get out of there. So if he goes to his son's house and his daughter-in-law gets angry at him, so he's always got that possibility in the back of his mind that he might have to come home in middle of Shabbos. So that's the yesod about the difference between sons-in-laws and daughters-in-laws. Okay, what about if he goes to stomp somebody else's house? Not a son, not a daughter, son goes to a friend's house. So is it a din in because he has such a close relationship with this child that that's why he's Masiya Libo, or is it a din that there's a contentious relationship with somebody that might push him out of the house in the middle of Shabbos? I didn't see much discussion about that. I didn't see any discussion about it. Didn't look so carefully, but I didn't see any discussion about that. Okay, says the new Mishnah. Bar Shebein Shtei Chatzeros. If you have a bar that's in between two Chatzeros, so people like to fill up water from the bar, but the bar goes between two chatzeros that don't have an eruv between the chatzeros, sein memalim menu b'shabbos. You're not allowed to fill water from the bar on Shabbos. Ela imkein asulo mechitza gavo asar tvachim bein milmata bein mitoch ogno. Unless you make a mechitza in the bar 10 tvachim high, whether that mechitza is on the bottom or it's mitoch ogno, we'll define all these terms. Mitoch ogno, we're going to assume for our purposes is what the Mishnah is going to mean when it uses the word in a few seconds of milmala. So there are two parts of the bar. There's lamata and lamala. So the Tanakhama says doesn't matter where the wall in this bar is, whether it's lamata or lamala, it can separate the two sides of the bar, and then each chatzer is allowed to fill up from their side of the bar. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Beishami Omer Milamata Beisulam Milamala. Rav Shimon Gamliel says no, it does matter where it is. In what way does it matter? Well, it depends which Tana you hold. Like Beishamai holds, the mechitza has to dafka be milamata, whatever that means. And Beisil says the Gemara is going to define it. And Beisil says the mechitza dafka has to be milamala. Rabbi Yehuda lo te mechitza gadol min hakol shel b'neim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the mechitza doesn't have to be milamata or milamala. The mechitza could even be the wall that separates the chatzeros above ground. Milamata lamala means inside the bar. Wherever inside the bar it means somewhere inside the bar. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't need the wall inside the bar. You could just have the wall that runs across the border between the two chatzeros that runs on top of the bar. And that's also fine to separate the two sides of the bar, and you're allowed to fill up water then from that bar. So I'm Rav Huna. So now we're going to define the terms. Rav Huna says, Lamata, Lamata Mamish. Lamala, Lamala Mamish. Vizeh, Vizeh, Bibar. So Rav Huna understands that Lamata means down near the surface of the water, meaning it's everything we're talking about is above the surface of the water. Lamata means near the surface of the water, where the bottom of the wall is right above the surface of the water, but it's not, the wall doesn't, it doesn't extend all the way up till the edge of the bar. Lamala means that the wall is all the way up by the edge of the bar, that the top of the wall hits the edge, the top edge of the bar, and therefore the bottom of the wall does not necessarily go down all the way to reach the surface of the water. That's lamala and lamata. Rabbi Yehuda Amar lamata lamata min amayim. Lamala lamala min amayim. Rabbi Yehuda says no, lamata means that the wall is actually in the water, that it's underneath the level of the water. That's lamata. And you know what lamala means? What Rav Huna said is lamata. That's what I call lamala. When it's when the bottom of the wall is at the surface of the water, that's what I call, says Rav Yehuda, lamala. That's what Rav Huna called lamata. That's what I call lamala. Samalei Rabba Bar Rav Chanan La Abaye Hadam Rav Yehuda Lamata Lamata Min Amayim. That which Rav Yehuda says Lamata means the wall needs to be beneath the water. That's what Lamata means, and that's what the Mishnah said that Beis Shammai Dafka wants, that the wall should be under the water. Maishna Lamata Mamish Delo Da'arivi Maya. Why is it that if it's above the surface of the water, it's no good? It must be because the water is mixing together from one side to the other side. You need a wall that actually divides the actual water. Otherwise, I stick my bucket into the bar, I'm going to be pulling water from the other side. So you need a wall that actually really divides the water. Well, even if the wall is under the water, so the water will still mix together over the wall. Meaning, as long as the water is more than 10 tefachim deep, if I have a 10 tefach wall all the way at the bottom of the pit, the water is still going to mix from one side to the other. I still might be pulling from the other side. So it says, what he means is that the wall has to be all the way at the bottom of the bar, and it reaches up, the height of the wall reaches a tefach above the surface of the water. So it really divides the entire water from one side to the other side. Vesu, another kasha. Hadam Rav Yehuda, lamala, lamala min amayim. When Rav Yehuda says lamala means that the bottom of the wall is above the surface of the water, maishna lamala mamish delo. Why is it that he holds that it can't be at the very edge of the bar, all the way high up in the bar? The Da Rivi Maya must be because the water then would then mix underneath the wall. Well, the Malam and Amayim Namiya Rivi Maya. Even when it's above the surface of the water, when it's right above the surface of the water is still going to mix from one side to the other. Samle Loshmi Alachadan Yaakov Karchinoa. Tzorach Sheishka Rashi Kanim B'Mayim Tefach. Don't you know what Rabbi Yaakov the Bald once said? That you need to. We have that nickname sometimes in Shas where they gave people nicknames based on physical appearance. And it apparently was not considered to be onos tevarim, wasn't considered to be an insult for whatever reason. So it's just descriptive. So sarach sheyishka rashi kanim b'mayim tefach. He says no. The case that we talk about, where the wall is above the surface of the water, just means that it's mostly above the surface of the water. But one tefach of it still dips down into the water, so it sort of divides the water. V'alahadam Rav Yehuda kora arba materes b'churva. But wait a second. Now what Rav Yehuda said, that a beam that's four tefachim wide could be matir in the churva, meaning we assume pitikri yard v'sosim on all sides of that beam, and therefore if you have a beam that's four tefachim wide, you can carry underneath that beam because it's surrounded, it's ki'ilu, it's surrounded by mechitzos. Rav Nachman Amar Baravua kora arba materes b'mayim, and Rav Nachman says in the name of Rabbi Baravua, let's say you have water between two chatzeros, you have a bar between two chatzeros, and you just have a beam that's four tefachim wide that separates the middle of the bar, that runs along the middle of the bar, that's good enough also. Why is that good enough? Ha-ka'azil dali li'idach gisa umaisi. So aren't you worried that the bucket you drop into such a well is going to go float over to the other side of the well, to the other chatzar side of the well, and you're going to be drawing water from there? So says Mar Kimlu Rabban and Dein Dli Mahalich Yosem Yarba Tfachim. No, if this beam that runs across the well is four tefachim wide, there's no such concern, because the Rabbanan have an assumption that the bucket's not going to travel more than four tefachim away. That it may float away a little bit from you, but it's not going to go more than four tefachim away. So it's not going to go all the way to that guy's side, to the other guy's side. But we know where it will go. It will go under the beam, at least. It may not go four tefachim away to the other side of the beam, but it will definitely go under the beam. So tachas kora miyaha rivi maya. And that's where water is still mixing together from both sides. And Rabbi Yehuda said, you need a hefsik mechitza. You actually need a mechitza, according to the Beis Hillel. The way Rabbi Yehuda understood the Beis Hillel, you actually need a mechitza dividing all the water. So why is this beam good enough? Why is it okay to have a beam running across? So it must be that this is a kula that the chacham had by mayim. Meaning, what's the ella? Whenever you have the word ella, it means that we're rejecting some previous assumption. So Rashi understands we are rejecting shitas Rav Yehuda. That Rav Yehuda, who said that lumata means lumata min amayim, that the wall actually has to be in the water and divide the water on both sides of the bar. Not true. We don't hold that way. We reject that shita. Rav Huna's shita is correct. Lamata means lamata mamish, which means that it's above the surface of the water. Lamala means all the way at the top of the bar. Completely different from Rav Yehuda. We accept Rav Huna's opinion. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara. Not all the Rishonim understand that way, but that's the only way to really account for the word Ella. El is a key word. It means that we're rejecting something that we previously had. Other Rishonim say, okay, let's take out the word Ella. So we're not really rejecting Rav Yehuda. But let's read it right like Rashi. So we see that there's a special kula that we have by Mayim that you don't need the mechitza to actually divide all the way down. If you have a mechitza tuya, hanging mechitza, so meaning it doesn't reach all the way down to the ground, can that be matir in a churva? Amrlei, ein mechitza tuya materes ela b'mayim. Kalu Shekilu Chacham B'Mayim. Mechitzat Tfuliyah only works by Mayim because it's a special kula that we dafkav by water that we don't have anywhere else. Good, says the Gemara further now. Am Rabbi Dolote Mechitza, Rabbi Huda's Shita, the Mishnah was, that not only do you not need a Mechitza in the water itself, not only do you not need a Mechitza right above the surface of the water, you don't even need a Mechitza anywhere in the bar. The Mechitza that runs across, that divides the two Chatzeros, that's good enough to be a real Mechitza. So Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda B'Shita's Rabbi Yossi Amra, Rabbi Yehuda must be assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Why? What's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi? That we're going to rely on a mechitza tliya, a mechitza that doesn't reach all the way down to the ground, even on dry land. It's not only a kula that we have by mayim, that even by yabasha we rely on a mechitza tliya. Because that's why it doesn't even need to be in the pit itself, as Rashi says, mechitza tliyah mataras af biyabasha hilkach b'mayim nami ein saruk shetira mechitza asuya b'shvil amayim mitoch ognei abar. It doesn't even have to look like this mechitza has anything to do with the water. If mechitza tliyah was only heter dafka for water situations, then at least you'd have to make the mechitza look like it's got something to do with the water. So you'd have to put it somewhere in the bar. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda allows the mechitza that runs over the bar that divides the two chateros tells us that a mechitza tliyah works anywhere. Where do we find that Rabbi Yossi holds a mechitza tliyah works even by Yabasha? Tznan, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah. It's Maseches Shabbos, Maseches Sukkah. Hamishalshel defanos milamala lamata bezman shugvos min haaretz gimel tfachim psula. If a person, let's say, you have a canvas sukkah and you have all the canvas rolled up and it's all at the top of the frame, and then you untie it and it rolls right down. So it rolls all the way down, but it doesn't go all the way down to the floor. So as long as it's three tfachim up above the ground, so it says the Tanakam in the Mishnah, that's pasul. If it's three tfachim above the ground, that's a mechitza. Even though it may be 10 tefachim of wall, but it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, that's pasul. Mimata lamala, but if you're building it from the ground up, so even gavos yud tefachim kshera. As long as the mechitza is 10 tefachim high, it's kosher. Meaning, as long as it starts from the ground, even though it doesn't have to be magil eschach, you don't need the funnels magil eschach. It just goes 10 tefachim high. That's good enough to be kosher. Rabbi Yossi Omer kshem shemil lamata lamala asara kach mil lamala lamata asara. That just like Rabbi Yossi says, all you need is 10 tefachim when you're building from the ground up. You only need 10 tefachim when you're building from the top down also, even if there's 3 tefachim of empty space underneath the mechitza. So you see, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, that even on dry land, we're talking about a mechitza of a sukkah, it counts as a kosher or wall for a sukkah when it's 3 tefachim off the ground. So you see that Rabbi Yossi holds exactly like Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah, that a mechitza tliyah works even by Abasha. Says the Gemara, that is not a valid equation. They do not necessarily relate to each other. Velohi. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savlak Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda would reject Rabbi Yossi's kula by sukkah. Velo Rabbi Yossi savlak Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi would reject Rabbi Yehuda's kula in Hilchas Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda lo savlak Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda rejects Rabbi Yossi because that can't come Rabbi Yehuda elu be'eruvei chatzeros rabbanan. You know when Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow mechitza tliyah? When we're dealing with an issue of eruvei chatzeros. Again, keep in mind, what's the whole issue over here? That you might carry from one chatzer to another chatzer. Chatzer number one is a Rosh HaSayachid, chatzer number two is a Rosh HaSayachid. Everything is dinim d'rabbanan over here. There's nothing that even resembles a din d'oraisa over here. So that's where we're going to be makel in terms of the definition of mechitza. The whole requirement of a mechitza between the two of them is only a requirement d'rabbanan. So in how to define mechitza, we're going to be much more makel as well. Aval sukkah d'oraisa lo. But when it comes to sukkah, the fact that you need mechitzos of a sukkah, that's a din d'oraisa. Right, the whole sugi of Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemesores, Basukas. Right, how do we darshan? How many walls you need from a sukkah? But it's all drushes from Sukkim about the walls for a sukkah, that a sukkah needs mechitzos. So that's a din d'oraisa. So on a din d'oraisa, we would never be making the definition of mechitzos, says Rabbi Yehuda. The lo Rabbi Yossi savla Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, who is mekel by sukkah, would never be mekel by Shabbos, because ad kam lo kam Rabbi Yossi el b'sukkah disrasehu. Because by sukkah, even though it's a din d'oraisa, but the category of hilchos sukkah is a mitzvah saseh. a mitzvah saseh is typically much less severe than chil Shabbos. Chil Shabbos is a much more severe area of halacha. Aval Shabbos, this is skilahu lo amar. But when we're dealing with Shabbos-related issues, where Shabbos is nisr skila, even though carrying from one chatzar to another chatzar is not a nisr skila, but it's in that general category of hilcha Shabbos, which overall counts as a din of skila, so lo amar, he would never apply such a kula. Vim tomar, so you can say, wait a second, is that true? Rabbi Yossi doesn't rely on mechitza tluya for hilcha Shabbos? Well, what about that famous story? Also, Maisa Shanasa b'Tzipori al pi minasa. What about the famous story in Tzipori, which was Rabbi Yossi's town? Rabbi Yossi was the Maradasa of Tzipori, and yet they relied on a mechitza tluya. So says Gemara, no, lo al pi Rabbi Yossi, al pi Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi nasa. That was after Rabbi Yossi's time. His son, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, was already the Maradasa by the time they relied on a mechitza tluya in Tzipori. What's the famous story in Tzipori where they relied on a mechitza tluya? So the Gemara doesn't leave us in the dark, it tells us the story. The Chiyas Rav Dimi Amar, Rav Dimi reported the story happened. Pa machas, shachu v'lo yiviu sefer Torah mibod yom. One time they forgot to bring the Sefer Torah before Shabbos. So they didn't, they had to be Kari B'Torah, they had to be Yotzi Kriyas HaTorah. And they forgot to bring the Sefer Torah before Shabbos. So they couldn't schlep it through the Mavoi, carry it in the streets to bring it. It's carrying on Shabbos. So Lamarchar Parsu Sadin ala Amudim, they view Sefer Torah V'Korobah. So they hung curtains along the posts to make walls, and by making those walls, they built these machitzos, so they were able to carry the Sefer Torah through those walls. Says Mar Parsu L'Chachil Mishari, you're allowed to build walls on Shabbos. You're allowed to hang curtains on Shabbos to make a mechitza. Everyone says you're not allowed to make an Ol Arai on Shabbos. How could you make these mechitzos? You're not allowed to do that. No, that's not what happened. They found sadinim already prusin alamudim. They found these curtains already hanging. But the thing about hanging curtains is the assumption was that they didn't hang all the way down to the floor. That they hovered three tefachim above the floor, and therefore they were mechitza tluya. So even though they didn't hang these curtains on Shabbos, the curtains were already there, but they were relying on them as a mechitza in hilcha Shabbos. So that was the maisa that bothered us. That's Rabbi Yossi's hometown. How can they rely on mechitza tluya for Hilcha Shabbos, which Rabbi Yossi gets all nervous, it's a Nisr Skila, you're not allowed to rely on Mechitza Tzliya for Hilcha Shabbos. So the Gemara said, no, that wasn't Rabbi Yossi's doing, that was the doing of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Now this din, that you're not allowed to make an Ola Rai on Shabbos, Rashi in Masech Shabbos, Tav Kuf Chafei Mbeis says that an Ola Rai is only Aser when you make a Gag, when you make a roof that's a Rai, but you're allowed to make a Mechitza that's a Rai for the sake of Tznius. And his Raya is from the Sugya and Sadi Dalar Amralf that Rav and Shmuel of Machlokas, when a mechitza falls between two chatzeros, you're allowed to be metaltal in each of the chatzeros. And the case of the mechitza falling, Shmuel says to take a beged and make a new mechitza. So the Gemara says, why does Shmuel have to make a new mechitza? Anyway, you're allowed to be metaltal without a mechitza. So the Gemara says, Shmuel did the mechitza with tznius abilvad. He made the mechitza not to be matir, but for tznius. So Rashi says, oh, you see from that Gemara that a mechitza, a partition that separates two sides of something, that you're allowed to make for the sake of tznius. So if the mechitza is down in shul, let's say, you want to put up a mechitza for the sake of tznius, to divide the men from the women, so you're allowed to put up such a mechitza on Shabbos. The maisa that the Gemara brings over here, and it's quoted also in Masechah Sukkah and Daf Tezayin and Beis, and the Gemara also asks over there, like it asks over here, so there are different girsos. The girsa that Rashi had is parsul l'chachil mishari, but I thought everyone says you're not allowed to make an ol arai on Shabbos. So it sounds like the Isser is to make a mechitza arai on Shabbos even when it's not a gag, even just a mechitza that divides two sides of something. So Rashi says, that's the girsa I've seen, but you have to take away that girsa. There's no Isser whatsoever. There wouldn't be an Isser to make such a mechitza between two areas on Shabbos. Rashi's girsa is, Parsus al kadaitach, and the kasha is, what do you mean parsus? How did they bring the cloths there on Shabbos? You have to carry the cloths out there in order to put them up. That was the problem that bothered the Gemara. So they said, no, matzus sadinim. They already had the cloths there, and they just had to loosen them, to lower them, to make them ten tefachim, turn them into a mechitza. But they wouldn't have schlepped the cloth there. The other issue that comes up over here is that, what did they do over here? They brought a Sefer Torah. Are you allowed to just bring a Sefer Torah from one place to another for a one-time visit to just schlep up a Sefer Torah from one place to another. So the Mordechai in Rosh Hashanah says, based on Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says if you have people who are in jail, you're not supposed to bring a Sefer Torah, that they should be able to read from the Torah, even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because of the Kvodah Shal Sefer Torah. It's Paskun Shulchan Aruch, some Kuf Lamed Hei, and there are those that are extremely machmir about this. And the Maisa Rav, he says that in Kriyas HaTorah, he would go L'makom Shebo Haya Sefer Torah V'loya Mevi Etzlo. He would always go to where the Sefer Torah is. We never have the Sefer Torah brought to him because you're not supposed to make, you're not supposed to schlep a Sefer Torah from one place to another. In the Salmas Chaim of Yosef Chaim Zonnfeld writes in Salmas Chaim that if you're davening in a side room of a shul and there's no Sefer Torah there, you shouldn't bring the Sefer Torah even to a side room of a shul. He says that you should go dafka to where the Sefer Torah already is. So the Rama has several kulas. The Rama says, first of all, we know for the Kohen Gadol and for an Adam Chashuv we do bring a Sefer Torah. So if that's true, that we'll do it for a Kohen Gadol and Adam Chashuv, so then Kal V'Chomer will do it for a Tzibur. Covenant Tzibur is bigger than anything else, so Kal V'Chomer you're allowed to do it for the sake of an entire Tzibur. Yeah, the Yerushalmi says not to bring it to a guy who's Bebeis HaAsurim, but a whole Tzibur, now Baruch Hashem we have Tzibur's in jail, so then you can bring a Sefer Torah for the whole Tzibur. Alright, Baruch Hashem, will continue tomorrow.